It is the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. Pleased to have James Stratton of KWQC TV 6 News fame. You're on the air tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. 5, 6, and 10 tonight.
All right. So be tuned in for that. Gerard Tiger football. Give me your – you don't get to see him a lot, but give me your snapshot. I'll say I covered him this year. I like the effort from the kids. I like Coach Munson. I'm glad he finally got a chance. Now, being in this profession, I do hear certain things. You know, I consume – you know, social media, so mm-hmm. I hear people complain, and I hear some of the people say stuff in the stands with whatever, you know, and I just caution people. It was the first season this year, and like I said, I really like what I saw. I like certain things that he's implemented, and I hope that people give him a chance over there, because I think they got the potential to win some games next year.
And so do
and
I.
You played for Scott Munson.
Yeah, he's a lifetime guy, so I definitely hope that they give him a chance, and I think he deserves a chance. In any sport, you need to sort of get through the noise, and unfortunately we're noise sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Parents are noise. Other students in school are noise. So if you can break through that noise and basically ignore those people, you have a shot at being very successful if you work as a unit. It's not a one person thing, and it's not a whole team plus parents thing. It's you guys in weight rooms at 6 a.m. in the summer, even before that. If you're a three sport athlete, it's working at those sports to then have the correct skills when it comes to summertime, when it comes to 7-on-7, if they still do that, and then when it comes to preseason camp and then week one.
Well, and like he said, we talked about this over the weekend, about it's easier to give reasons why not to play football than to why play football. I mean, football's on trial a little bit.
Yeah.
He talked about that the common theme is football is looked down upon now over there. And I told him, and I said, I want to make sure the kids understand I have respect for those kids that played this year. Because it ain't easy taking your lumps on a Friday night in week 8. And I forget how many seniors that stuck it out to the very end.
Which is how it should be. I mean, and that's the love that you have for the guy who plays next to you. And that's whether you're winning or losing. I mean, obviously you want to win, and obviously you take the steps that you think are necessary to win. But if you're getting rocked and you're not, there's something to be said about a kid who does take the hits and then the losses and keeps coming back for more.
Yeah, and I think his roster, he had that this year, that those kids stuck it out to the very end. And that tells me that, hey, then he's doing some right things and he's getting some buy-in from the kids. And
yeah.
That's the first most important part. But everybody in that room that's at that banquet, they have to have buy-in to the process too. But I like the little things that I saw with like the strong tie game and the collared shirt at the banquet, which I think is kind of how it is doing it right.
And I think Munson is a details guy from my playing days, and I can speak to that. He's a details guy in terms of weight room, in terms of the proper form in the weight room, in terms of sticking up for your brother, and I guess the little things even further, as such as wearing a tie or whatever.
And then from a media standpoint, because Hutton told me this year, he's like, man, you're really giving it to Munson. He's like, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, you make him do the post-game interview on Friday night, and then you make him come on the show on Saturday morning to talk about, you know, those losses times two. So it's times 18. But I'm looking forward to next year. I think that sophomore class was pretty good. I think the junior class, there's some pieces of the puzzle there to win some games next year. What do you think about I'm just curious. You played football, the status of high school football, and you see the, you know, even the good teams now, their rosters are, you know, you talk about Rock Ridge, they had Newman on the ropes in the regular season, and I think Rock Ridge had 22 varsity kids. Oregon had like 21 or 22 varsity kids. What do you think of the numbers now in high school football?
I obviously would like to see more kids go out for football and more kids play football. I think it taught me a lot more than it hurt me, but you're talking to a guy who's had hip surgery because of football, and thankfully I've only had one concussion, so I was never.
Now, is that one that you know of, or
that's one that was like I was knocked out Totally. So, but that's
playing high school or
no, that was college ball. So one diagnosed concussion and yeah, I kind of played in the quote unquote bell ringing days, but I never thought I had a concussion and it didn't go to a coach. So if you play the game correctly and you have fundamentals, I think it's a safe game. If I had a kid right now, I'd let him play. I'd probably start him in like I did in fifth grade, sixth grade, play tackle football there up until high school. And I played with guys like me who played 12 years of football and were fine. We're upstanding citizens. Like there's nothing. And I think it gets a kind of a bad rap in terms of CTE and all that. And I think that's a very serious thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't ever want to say that concussions aren't a serious thing because I've had a concussion. I had a severe one and it sucked. It was terrible. One of the worst pains ever. But that was 1 or 2 weeks of my life compared to 12 years of building friendships, 12 years of teaching fundamentals, 12 years of teaching discipline, teaching work ethic, hard work, and things like that. I think the good definitely outweighs the bad.
So, but do you think it's a trend that can be reversed? I don't think it can in terms of the participation numbers. I think we're at the sport is at a crossroads. You know, this year, if you can believe it. And it's just the culture, and this is nobody to blame other than the way things are changing. You know, I was talking to Coach Hofer, the Mercer County coach, yeah. Sherrard grad. Was he about your age or no?
No, he's a few years older, but his parents actually, we grew up one street over from each other. So his parents still live in their house, and my parents still live the next street over.
Yeah, and, you know, he had indicated that leading up to week one, he was still trying to get some kids to go out.
Wow.
I mean, can you believe that? I mean, that's the program at Mercer County / Aledo where I can't remember, like, in the late 90s if Coach Walter...
Back in my day, yeah.
Coach Walter's got to ask Michael O'Brien if he's going to go out for football for Aledo. But that's kind of the point where I think and I think Coach Hofer understands it, that you have to change the approach a little bit now. That you have to, and people will say, that's you liberal Taylor, you're talking about the sense of entitlement now. No, I'm just saying the game has changed where the approach to get kids to play football, you have to approach it a little bit differently now. And you do have to recruit, even the good programs kind of have to recruit kids now to say, hey, we need you to play football. Do you want to play? What will it take for us to get you to go out? And I think schedule flexibility now has to be huge with kids, the multi-sport athletes, where these off-season sports cross into the in-season sports, if you know what I mean. You're playing a sport that is played in the spring or winter, but you want to prepare for that sport in the fall when the football season is. Mm-hmm. So there's the schedule flexibility that those kids have that they want in order to if they're going to play football, you got to make that trade-off or allow that flexibility so they can do that too.
That I'm not sure about, but I definitely think that the sport, especially at this level, is unfortunately the numbers are dwindling. And I did a story with Eastland Pearl City, which is up Carroll County area.
Dairy farmer Randy Ashy, their head coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He just retired. So they're
going
to seek of a new coach.
Yeah. Wow.
So you learned something. Go break that story tonight with your sports department.
He was a good guy. He implemented a program where in 7th and 8th grade, they don't have contact. They have one practice a week in the in-season where I think it's on a Saturday. We don't reach all the way up to Coach Ashy, so he can't knock me on it. But and they have like a 7-on-7 type deal where they don't hit each other, but they learn fundamentals. And then 4 days a week or 5 days a week, I can't remember what it was, they work out, they lift, they do fundamentals. And I interviewed one of his assistant coaches, and he's also the head of the weight room, and he said, if we're going to continue to – this is still the quote that in this interview was 6 months ago. If we're going to continue to play the sport we love, there are restrictions we have to make. And I think that's the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things we have to do to keep kids on the field and to keep the safety aspect at the forefront.
All right, so – being a small school college athlete, you know, you played at the D3 level, and we all know the perception that we have of Division I college athletes, the revenue-generating sports of college football and college basketball. I mean, people have the realization what that is, mm-hmm. and kind of in terms of the high level 5-star recruit, what they get, you know, the scholarship and the, you know, the fancy, the reaping the benefits of the equipment companies where they get all the nice gear, stuff like that. So we get that perception of what college athletics are about, but I would assume at the Division III level, a little bit different. But I'll tell people, even at the D1 level, just going to see Hap play a couple times and seeing behind the scenes, it's still kind of a lonely life, and it's a grind and a gruel. You really want a grind, and it's a grueling life. If you really want to do it with the practice and being a good student and traveling and doing all that, man, it ain't easy, I'll tell you that. But I would assume it's a little bit easier than being a D3 student.
Yeah, we're not flying to USC on
but,
a Saturday.
But, I mean, you got to love it. Yeah, to play at the D3 level, because I would say even maybe the interest level at, if you play at a good high school program and you have support, it's more at the high school level than it is at the D3 level.
I'm not sure on that. There are people in the Quad Cities that come to football games, and I'm lucky enough that Augie has a storied basketball and football tradition. So there are lifers in the Quad Cities that come and watch football games. There are lifers in the Quad Cities that come and watch basketball games. Trust me, when I was in college, I yelled at the basketball teams just like the guys and the ladies from Rock Island who went to Augie 30, 40 years ago. But it is a grind. It's something that you have to truly love. We switched schedules, and they were renovating parts of the field when I was a junior. And so we had to practice in the mornings. So we practiced I was on the field at 6 a.m., which means I had to wake up at a little before 5 because I'd like to get on the field at least 20, a half hour before practice to do some pre-practice drills. So it's definitely a mindset when you have to write a however many page, 10-page paper and then wake up at 4 a.m.
Or work study or anything like that when you were at Augie?
I interned at Channel 6 off and on, so that was kind of another thing to stack up onto it.
How did you eat? I mean, do you...
Yeah, so I worked also at the mall.
You're still paying...
Yeah, I worked also
so,
at the mall.
So, I mean, that's a lot. That's a full day for the student.
Yeah, exactly.
Athlete.
Exactly.
Would you do it over again or not?
Oh, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. Once again, going back to what I said earlier, the good definitely outweighs the bad of football, whether that's waking up early, whether that's getting hit, whether that's the one doing the hitting. So,
all right, and I want to get some media stuff from you. So, I had John Marks on here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, John Marks, mm-hmm. old Johnny Marks. And I said the worst common denominator in life is comment sections on news related Facebook pages. Agree or disagree?
We get some interesting comments, yes. Well, all across the spectrum.
Now, because we always get into this First Amendment debate about, well, you can't disable those comments. I disagree. And the only reason I say is you're not disabling Facebook. If those people want to be complete frickin' idiots, go be a complete frickin' idiot on their own Facebook page.
If we're going, I'm going to tell you the law, actually. So if we're going on a strict First Amendment, obviously that's the first.
You got a law degree now, too? Well, man, look at you, bro.
I took some common law classes in school. I'm definitely not a lawyer by any means. But the First Amendment is what gives you and I the right to do what we're doing right now and to do what we both do every day. In terms of the First Amendment, if we're breaking the First Amendment down at its core, you have the right to say whatever you want. You could... Right now, you could run outside on the street and say whatever you want. But it doesn't change the consequence of what you doing it. Plus, you have the right to say all that.
Yeah, and that's what everybody forgets.
But not in my space. So if I want to ban you, and we have rules on our Facebook page that people, and they're specifically stated in our like about section or whatever, and there's 150,000 people that like the KWQC Facebook page, so we're going to get some people who don't agree with us, obviously, and that's okay. But if you're threatening or whatever, that's our platform. Your First Amendment rights at the law at its basis, your First Amendment rights, you have the right to say whatever you want, but you don't have the right, the consequences are part of your right, and you're in our realm, so we have the right to say we're going to disable comments. And I think there was a big stink when the, I believe it was the Dispatch did something and then they took comments off their Facebook, or their, not their Facebook page,
just their regular
website.
Page.
So yeah, it's, that's the avenue. You have the right to say whatever you want, but not in that avenue because that's an avenue that they own.
All right. So have you ever read like a comment and say, oh, humanity, please do better? I mean, are you to the point of your career where you don't even read the comments anymore?
I don't read the comments in the KWQC page very often.
But if I at you on Twitter, like, you no good bum, Stratton.
If you at me on Twitter, it my phone will light up right now. So,
what is your Twitter account, by the way, so people
it's
know?
It's James Stratton TV, yeah, okay. At me. So,
has there been anything, and you don't have to tell me the story, but we're in this business, you know, and there are times we do something we think, man, I hit the ball out of the park on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But then the reaction is completely different. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you ever had any experience like that where you think, or maybe even any criticism on a story you did, you're like, really? This is the criticism on this?
Yeah, I've had criticism for sure, and I happen to truly enjoy political reporting and politics, so that heats up anyone no matter what, especially in the election cycle we had previously. So when I would go to any rally, it's not a President Trump rally, it wasn't a Hillary Clinton rally, it wasn't a Mike Huckabee rally, it wasn't a Ted Cruz rally, it wasn't a Bernie Sanders rally, it was whoever. I could tweet whatever about whoever, about whatever event I was at, and I would get at least two or three, depending on how big the candidate was at the time, reactions from people. Some may not even be in the Quad Cities, saying, I've been called every name in the book. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not radio correct names.
Yeah, with political reporting.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We're at a point in political reporting, I think, that does it – you tell the story, but what is the impact in the long run? Is it changing somebody's perception on a candidate? This is me,
mm-hmm.
Alito, Illinois, Southside, guy that's been in small market radio since 1990. And I say if we had a study and we could do this and we had the election, again, the Trump-Hillary election, the results would exactly be the same. Nobody would change their vote.
Yeah, I don't see why they would. I mean, it was just a year ago that they voted.
But so. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying with all the stuff that has happened between now and then and all the political rhetoric we hear on, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about just from credited media sources. I'm talking about the social media stuff,
mm-hmm.
where I just don't feel anything is changing the game. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
I just think the society, the way it is, this is just me saying, I think the vote would be the exact, I don't think anybody would change their vote from last year's election to this year's election.
I could see that. I could see where you would think that,
And we're talking about what has happened in a year time.
And I think a lot of what's good about where we live, and I obviously work in Iowa, not in Illinois, but we cover both states. We cover the Iowa caucuses, so everyone's pretty relatively new to the spectrum, even though they've been around the state for however many. Now it's almost a year before the caucuses even start. So the glory of my position from a local standpoint is we're at these rallies and we're actually there and we're actually doing reporting on issues that these guys are bringing and women are bringing to the table and what they mean to people in this area. I think that's a lot more important than the political chatter, I guess, get whenever you turn on whatever national
station.
And
the local races and the local issues are what local TV and local radio are about anyway, more than national. And I think the fun, I don't know if it's the fair description of fun, but I think the interesting race that is really going to be great to follow over the next year is the Mark Klein Bustos race in the 17th congressional district with the money that's already behind the Klein campaign and the money in the Bustos campaign, which is going to be a hotly contested race in the 17th district.
And I'd take that a next step and say the governor's race as well.
There's
a lot of money. We're a year basically away from Election Day 2018, and there's a lot of money in that race also.
So what makes you tick about media? What do you like watch? You watch competitors and all that stuff.
Yep.
What type of consumer are you?
Yeah. So if I'm watching, I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before. If I'm watching the 5 or 6 o'clock news, I flip between the three stations. Like I'll watch six for 20 seconds. It's as few as that sometimes. And then I'll flip to 8, I'll flip to 4. And so that's how I consume that. I consume a lot of news through social media, like a lot of people do. I like local TV stations across the country because I feel like if there's something happening in, we'll just talk about the recent snow in Texas. So if there's snow in Texas, I want to hear it from Ken's 5 in San Antonio or KSAT in San Antonio or whatever station. I don't want to hear it from CNN, NBC, mm-hmm. ABC, whoever. So that's how I consume that. And then I consume a lot of news through Twitter. And then I listen to a lot of podcasts through NPR. So I consume a ton of news.
Do you listen to Fresh Air? You like Terry Gross?
I've heard a couple Fresh Air podcasts. Actually, was Margo just on?
Yeah.
Is that Fresh Air?
You listen to Mark Maron?
That name doesn't
sound familiar. He's a WTF podcast. He's one of the popular. He gets most of the – because Margo Price was on his show for 2 hours. Podcast he does in – because he's a former comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it in the garage of his home. But he gets all – like, he had Obama on in Obama's last year in office. And he does it in the garage of his home.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's a great podcast. All right, we're running out of time. James Stratton, any closing comments to our great listening audience other than watch you at 5, 6, and 10?
No, I won't say that. This is my home, and I'm lucky enough to do what you do in a place where you love, and I think there's something special about that.
And the other thing, too, there's good people in this business. Now, we all have the rivalries, or there's a few people that kind of drive you bananas, but there's I think the media market in the Quad Cities is a pretty strong game. Now, I wish newsrooms were a little bit bigger, both on the paper side, the TV side. We all understand what's happening, and newsrooms where you think the newsroom should be expanding, but the way the culture is now and what's happening in the industry, the newsrooms are shrinking at a time when there needs to be more reporters.
Yeah, that's all I can say to that is yeah. But we're lucky enough to have great papers and great stations, and I'm lucky enough to work with one of the great stations in the Quad Cities. So.
All right. Long live the 2009 Sherrard Tigers head coach Jason Kirby. It's 3rd and 18 at the Rock Ridge 24. Throw the Kirby fade from Logan Fry to who? Who was the receiver there?
Mitch Hyer or Colby Bjurstrom.
Mitch Hyer caught it in the back of the end zone. Touchdown. James Stratton, good to see you. Always enjoy watching you on TV.
Appreciate it. It's an honor. Thanks.
All right. That'll do it on the WRMJ Sports Line.
Did you know that life insurance is more affordable than you think? A small step like packing